Hi, everybody. This is Armand Demel with you with the Positive Mind, WBAI, 99.5 FM on your dial, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. Hey, positively minded life, a very difficult thing to have a positively minded life because our mind sometimes drive us crazy. You ever think yourself into frustration? Thinking, let me think about it, think about it, think about it. It's as if your thinking could possibly solve your problems. Well, let me think about it. Why don't I think about it? What are you doing when you're thinking about something? Generally, the art of thinking about things, it's an exercise in futility. Because it's very hard to think about things. First of all, if we assume that the reason that you're doing some neurotic or crazy behavior, and by that I mean, you know, let's say you're depressed. Well, depression is a refuge. It's a refuge from something. And you want to say, why am I depressed? So you ask yourself the question, but remember, your brain wants you to have a refuge. So if your brain wants you to have a refuge, it's not going to tell you why you're really depressed. It's going to tell you something that makes you keep being depressed. So it'll say something to you, you're depressed because nobody loves you. And you'll say, oh, nobody loves me, and you'll talk to yourself. Now, this is supposed to be helping you get undepressed. And you say, why doesn't anybody love you? And your brain says back to you, because you're not good enough to love. Boy, that was a really good dialogue. Weren't you glad you had that dialogue? Aren't you glad you asked yourself, why am I depressed? Well, that's what people do, you know. They get into a dysfunctional relationship. They say, what's wrong with him? And they say, well, he just doesn't love you. Why doesn't he love you? Because you're not good enough to love. Boom, back to depression. Or because he is this or that, and you focus on the outside. The brain will not give you answers. If you ask the brain from the part of you that is desperate and frustrated, you have to learn a new way to talk to yourself. You really do. It's hard. It's very hard. First of all, I want to use as a model something I learned from Martha Beck, who talks about the bicameral brain, which is the brain that has, you know, the two parts, the right hemisphere and the left hemisphere, and one part dominates feelings and the other part dominates thinking. She breaks it into two minds that we have. One mind we have is called the computer brain. Computer mind. And that's that part of you that knows all the facts and figures things out. And the other part of you is the creature mind. Now, the question about your creature self is that it's very simple. It has needs. It kind of feels, has most of the feelings. You know, I mean, your creature self is very basic. Just think of any creature. You know, your cat or your dog. They're feeling animals, right? If they see somebody going towards them in a menacing way, they run away. If they see food and they're hungry, they eat it. They don't think. They don't have the computer working as hard. Of course, they do somewhat. I mean, then a dog will learn after he eats something he shouldn't eat or that makes him sick. He'll say, oh, no, I'm not going to eat that again. So his computer brain is working for him. But we, unfortunate humans, we have our computer brain working so much, so overtime, that we completely control and hide our awareness of our own creature brain. We don't know what the creature wants or needs. So when we have conversations with ourselves, the creature self, the self that's based on feelings, talks to us, and we hit it back with logic. Well, I really feel lonely. Well, you shouldn't be lonely. You should have friends. Oh, but I really am lonely. Well, you should go out and meet people. See, it's you're not relating to the creature self. If you were relating to the creature self, you'd say, one part of you would say, oh, I feel really sad and lonely. And the other part might say, hey, sorry you feel that way. Is there anything I could do to help you not feel as bad? But of course, we don't talk to ourselves that way. We ask that question, and then you hear something like, yeah, let's go have a pizza. And you say, oh, you can't have pizza because it makes you fat. And then you get into one of these battles again. You see, creatures don't like to be pushed. They don't like to be leaned on. They don't like to be changed. If you push a creature, it pushes back. And it pushes back twice as strong. Just think about how many times you've tried to control yourself over one issue or another, and how you've gotten this response back from yourself twice as strong. People who lose weight. They lose weight, they starve themselves, they lose weight, and then what do? They gain back twice as much. People who try to control their anger, they control their anger and then they explode and they shoot a bunch of people. You know what I mean? It's always a response that's greater than the repression itself. Because your computer and your creature are alienated. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Today, I want to take a page from Martha Beck, and I want to show you how you might unalienate your mind. I want you to bust into your bicameral brain so that in some way you can find it a little more friendly. So in order to do that, we have to find a way to allow the creature inside you, and the creature self, which is the feeling self, in case you just tuned in. We want that creature self to feel safe. How do we do that? How do we do it to feel safe? Why do we want it to feel safe? We want it to feel safe because, you know, do you ever see a horse? A horse is a creature, right? And now, if you walk over to a horse in a menacing way, what's that look in that horse's eyes? Did you ever see that look of near panic? It doesn't know if it should run, it should hit you with a hoof. You know, it doesn't know. It has a panic look when it senses that you are moving towards it in an aggressive way. If you're thinking, well, all I want to do is ride you, all I want to do is take you around, it says, wait a minute, I'm a creature. You're not going to get to me that way. So your creature self responds to your computer self because your computer self wants the same thing as we want from horses. We want to saddle it. It wants to saddle our creature. It wants to ride us. It wants to take us out, but we don't trust it. So we look at it with those wary eyes. And yes, unless you could find a way to whisper to that horse in a way that doesn't threaten it, that horse will never be yours. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. You want that horse to be yours. You want the creature to be yours, not just something you ride. How many of you control your emotions? You control them, and you control them all the time, you know, and you feel alienated from yourself. You say, I don't know who I am. I don't know what I am. I don't know where I am. Well, of course not, because you've repressed yourself, suppressed yourself, depressed yourself, and just basically pressed yourself. You know, into annihilation, you just keep pushing it down. So instead of pushing it down, what we want to do is invite it out to play. How do we do that? How do we do that is the question today, my friends. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. One of the ways that we do it is we first got to get you to find a way to allow that feeling self to come out. Now, here's one of the things you got to sit down somewhere. You got to find a place. The exercise is important, and the exercise that you need to do is to find a way to make yourself quiet. Find a safe place where you can be uninterrupted for at least 10 minutes. Think about that. Now, you may not be able to do it right now because you may be, you know, sitting in a radio studio or something, but try to think of where you could find a place where you could sit uninterrupted for 10 minutes. Choose a time when you have no heavy needs, like if you're very hungry, don't do it then. When you're very thirsty, don't do it then. Try to find a time when your body's at relative peace. Find a place where you could be physically comfortable. Now, would you picture that in your mind? Do you already have the place? Come on, if I say to you, find a place where you could be comfortable, can you think of a place? Think of a place. You think of one, you have it? Have it in your mind? You can sit down or you can lie down, or it might feel good to move. You don't have to be just one or the other. But if you choose a mindless activity like walking or knitting, rather than something that demands attention like watching television or committing a burglary, you know, you don't want to be having to pay attention. You have to kind of let your mind go. Now, also make sure you're psychologically comfortable. Very important that you make sure you're psychologically comfortable. During the years, I found that you could feel safest when doing something that doesn't have a brain activity going on inside of you. You need to relax your mind. You need to be psychologically, physically comfortable. Psychologically, you kind of got to do away with the pressures at the moment. Now, if possible, find a spot where nobody can see you. This is very important because creatures, if they're seen, they don't know if they're going to be threatened, if they're going to be, attacked. Don't even see a reflecting surface. You know, don't even have a mirror in front of you. Just, you don't want to be seen because you want to feel safe. And finally, your safe zone should be a place where there is nothing around its temptation. So you don't want magazines or books or things that you might read or food that you might eat. Try to be free of temptation around you. Try not to give yourself, you know, all of these things. Now, keep experimenting until you find a place where you're most nervous, paranoid, subconscious, prey animal, where the part of you that's inside of you that gets scared all the time could feel as safe as possible. It's like the equivalent of taking a horse into a round pen, you know, where the horse can run but feel protected by the walls at the same time. It's like that's what you want to do. You want to find yourself a safe spot. Now, also what's very important when you find this place where you can quiet yourself, you have to make sure you stop attacking yourself under any circumstances. Beating up on yourself is going to leave you emotionally bruised, more crazed, and ultimately crazier than you were before. If you want to achieve anything, you got to drop your predator behavior. Now, the predator is the part of you that is attacking the emotional you. You must not attack yourself. You need a 10-minute vacation from predation. You must not be attacking. You can't be criticizing yourself during these 10 minutes. That means being supportive rather than aggressive towards your emotional self. It won't come naturally. You may feel ridiculous. You could fake it if you want to, and I'll teach you how. But here are the following messages that you could give your body, that you could give that small part of yourself. Here we go. Number one, to say to yourself, everything is okay. See, imagine you had a kid. Now, I mean, this really happened to me when I was young. I met a boy who had lost his father. And the boy's father was died in an accident. And the mother was an alcoholic and really poor. And the kid didn't feel safe in the world. So this kid stayed in the closet. He believed to be in the closet where he would dismantle things. He would bring a radio in the closet and take it apart. He would bring anything in the closet and just in the closet. He stayed in the closet. He wouldn't come out of that closet because he was convinced that outside that closet wasn't safe. You have to invite yourself out of the closet, and you do that by saying, it's okay, you could come out. It's okay, I'm not going to punish you. It's okay, I'm not going to criticize you. Come on out. The next message you have to give yourself is that there is not a single thing that you have to do for the next 10 minutes. You tell yourself that, you know. And now this is a funny thing. People who sit down alone, very often they find themselves sitting alone and they don't tell themselves there's nothing you could do, you're going to have to do for 10 minutes. So you've already made a deal with yourself. They have nothing to do. But you have to remind yourself there is nothing you have to do for the next 10 minutes. A third message is, I can handle this moment. I don't have to handle anything else. There could be, I could have problems outside. I can't feed the kids. I can't. But right this 10 minutes, I don't have to do anything. And the last message is, I have suffered. I have suffered. I deserve understanding, not cruelty. Now, the cruelty is when you punish yourself. So you give yourself a reprieve from all cruelty, including your self-criticism. See, in this grand scheme of things, how much does a thing matter? You know, as much as whether or not you're kind, is it really important to criticize yourself, or is it important to be kind to yourself? The first act is to be kind to yourself. If you never change a thing, the world would keep revolving. It's all right to rest. Give yourself permission to rest, my friends. It's time. You know, you need to relax. Next step is, you're now that you're doing this, now that you've found this 10-minute moment, this 10-minute reprieve from your own predation where you're no longer beating yourself up, try some deep, regular, easy breathing, a sensation of opening your airways. I strongly recommend nasal breathing, in and out through the nose, not the way you're usually taught to do it. Like that. Really as deep and as deep and as full as you can, both in and out through the nose. Focus at this point on some muscle relaxation if you can, especially in your torso, your neck, your shoulders, the space between your shoulders, the crown of your head. You know, try to just relax it all. You can get sleepy. It's okay to get sleepy, because when you find yourself relaxing and you find yourself dozing off, that's okay. Don't fight your sleepiness. And then watch the taste in your mouth. This is a very interesting thing. A taste in your mouth becomes less bitter, more sweet, when you the more you relax. Because, you know, stress makes saliva taste bitter. So you could use your taste as your own feedback. So this skill is its own reward. It'll give you a reprieve from any anxiety or stress you feel in everyday life. It's a great thing for you to do. It's also the foundation of every other emotional change strategy. Because with this exercise, what you could do is you start making contact with the creature. Now, what is a creature? This is such a fascinating thing. A creature doesn't have willpower. It doesn't have language skill. It doesn't have anything except reaction, and it has fear. It has love as well. It has many things. One of the things that you want to do is you want that creature to have a voice. You have a creature inside you. We're going to find a way for you to contact that creature and start carrying on your first dialogue with it. See, part of what psychotherapy is, the way that a lot of people do it, is they help the two parts of you find a balance, the creature and the computer. So what I want you to do is to be able to imagine. Now, you could write this down, or you could get a copy of this. I want you to teach you a way to bust into this brain of yours so that you could get and to a point where you could just exercise this, find the creature self at any time. I want you to sit down with a notebook, all right? Now, those of you who could do it now. Sit down with a notebook, a writing instrument, and at least 10 minutes of time at your disposal. So we have 10 minutes now, right? Draw a vertical line down the center of the blank page and divide it into two columns. Okay, so let me see. Where is it? You could do it on that page. Right. Now, using your preferred dominant hand, write a message on the left-hand side and write a note to a part of you that that is the creature. Like, write a part of you that's the instinctual self that, you know, have a problem. Like, just write it in note as if you were contacting this little child inside of you. You could say, how are you doing right now? What's life like? You know, what's going on? How are you? You can say anything you want. Got that? Now switch the pencil to your other hand, your non-dominant hand. And I want you to write back an answer to the first question on this column, as if you were talking from your creature self how you feel. Now, this is a very strange experience because you're writing with your non-dominant hand, and a very funny thing is going to happen. So give it a try. You got to give yourself a little room, I think. Make sure there's room around your elbow. How do you feel? Well, how are you doing? And the answer may be it comes from this smaller part of you. So see if that answer comes from that part of you. Just let it emerge and switch back to your preferred hand. Switch back to your right hand. Look at the message that you got back. And I want you to address it a second time. Like if you said, how are you doing? And it said, I'm feeling tired. Right? Give it something that's a kind thing. Say something to it like, is there something that you need that will help you right now? On the right side of you, give something to the left side of you. Now, the left side, as we said, represents the creature in you. The creature is this non-dominant hand. You're going to find it's the child in you. So now that you've said that back, you've had a second dialogue. Now, I want you to allow the creature to respond back to what it just heard. Now, very often, you know, the creature is very skeptical of good intention. The creature could say, I don't trust you. The creature can say, no, you won't be there for me. The creature could say, oh, I need you desperately. The creature could say anything. So what does the creature say? So using your non-dominant hand, respond back to the message you just heard. And you start writing with this non-dominant hand, you begin to feel the awkwardness of writing with your non-dominant hand, and you can begin to feel somewhat like a child, you know, who's trying to write. In fact, usually people look like children when they're writing with their non-dominant hand. So what you do is you continue to go back and forth using your dominant hand to non-judgmentally ask how you can make your non-dominant hand comfortable. What you want to do is you want your dominant hand to constantly look for what it could do to make your non-dominant side feel comfortable. Now, this sounds a little tricky, so it's just got to be a question. Is there anything else I could do? Is there anything you need? Tell me. Just, it's kind of simple. It's your computer self asking. And then don't know the answer, but just let your left side answer. So switch over to the other side and let the other side see this question and then consider it. But instead of guessing the answer in advance, actually give yourself the time in between. So now go to your non-dominant side and see if there's an answer that you would give it. And you're going to find, even though you may feel impatient, you may feel like getting off it, you're beginning to contact a self that is a very, very valuable self. Keep going back and forth until you find a message that signifies a real willingness to cooperate between both sides, where the two of you become a team. Now, for the moment, it may not be a team, because what the thing may be saying is the non-dominant creature self may just be saying, I don't trust you and I don't trust anyone and I'm not going to trust you. And so there you are. Remember, you as a computer are going to be accepting of whatever it feels, because you never are accepting of your creature. You rarely accept it. You rarely do anything for it. And part of the reason that you're so alienated from yourself so often is because you don't give the creature side of you the kind of time it needs. Here's an example of a dialogue. The computer says, how are you doing? The creature says, screw you. The computer says, what can I do for you? The computer says, go screw yourself. The computer says, I know I've ignored you for years, but I'm going to make it up to you. The creature says, oh, sure, I've seen this before. The computer says, what would you think of us trying to do something in moderation instead of extreme today? And the creature says, no, you've never loved me in my extremes. You have to love me in my extremes first. And so then the computer side of you says, well, okay, what if I allow you the extremes? And then we consider moderation. And so the creature part of you will say, okay, but let's go through the extremes first. And if it's true, you let me have whatever I want, then maybe I'll consider doing with a little less. And that's classic dialogue. Here's another one, you know. How are you feeling? Now, this is after a lot of progress that you have with the creature self. You may get to this point. How are you doing, you say to yourself, and the creature self says, not bad. You? It's actually asking you how you're feeling. It's as if the creature suddenly has enough room to ask you what you feel. I'm fine. Listen. How would you like to do something really different today about our diet? Let's eat vegetable only. We'll have only vegetables today. And the other side of you says, I hate that stuff. I think aliens invented greens to food, to feed it to people they abduct. You know, no, I don't want to eat that stuff. And so the computer in you says, yeah, I know, but I want to do an experiment and see what happens to us if we try this other way. And so the other part of you, the creature self, says, well, I don't want to do it. I don't want to be eating non-meat. I don't want to be eating just green stuff. Let me have at least one red meal. You know? And so there the computer self says, okay, we're going to have one red meal, and we're going to have two vegetarian meals today. How does that seem? And the creature says, well, I don't really like it, but I'll go along with it. See, then you've had one of those dialogues. Mind you, from the computer, from the creature self, you always have a kind of distrust because it is the most vulnerable. It is the one who gets hurt. It is the one who suffers the most pain. And what we're trying to do is get ourselves to a little freedom. This is Armand DeMille with you with a positive mind. When we come back, we're going to take your calls regarding these issues at 212-209-2900. We're going to take a little break, and I am bringing you music from, you know, I was playing some Zydeco music the other day, which is pretty amazing music from down south, you know, in the hills. And I got a call from somebody that I never play Hawaiian music, whoever, you know, Hawaiian music. Well, you know, there's a whole state. It's a whole representation. It's a whole music. It's magical with some of the ukulele that makes some of our guitar work seem amateurish. It's kind of amazing stuff. So I went to choose you something Hawaiian today, and I found a couple of pieces that I think you'll enjoy. I'm going to take a short break. When I come back, a little Hawaiian music, and then I'll take your calls. But do tune in to the Hawaiian music. I think it may make you cry. I'll be right back. Yeah. Raiatea. R-A-I-A-T-E-A is the name of the singers. Raiatea. And it's Polalele, which means something about walking on the beach at night, or what it's like to walk around the beach at night, from Hawaiian Playground. Hey, this is Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind, WBAI 99.5 FM. Wasn't that pleasant music? You know, you have this, it's like you put on country western for me, music for me, I kind of turn my head away. I go, oh no. But then, you know, I listen, some of it I listen to, it's pretty fantastic stuff. And the same with all music. I mean, is there anything that really turns me completely off? I'm not sure. I'm not sure there's a genre of music that turns me off. And you know, I mean, it's all about learning. If something is alien to your ears, you judge it immediately. If something is alien to your eyes, you judge it immediately. If you see something that's not familiar to you, you point at it and you go, ugh, alien, disgusting, no good. So back in the 40s, when people heard Frank Sinatra, at first they said, ugh, disgusting, listen to him, he's a crooner. Then they heard Elvis Presley, and they said, look at him, sexy guy who's swirling his hips around, disgusting, terrible. And then the Beatles, they went, oh, that crazy music, it's going to make everybody insane. And it went on and on and on to all the different kinds of music, where there was always some old-timers sitting around judging and berating whatever is new. Do you do that? Do you dislike that which is not ordinary to you, with that which is not comfortable to you, that which is not familiar? Do you do that? If it's not familiar, you turn it down. You know, somebody invites you and says, here, here's a game for you to take home. Oh, no, I don't have any room for those games. Right? Or here's a, let's go to this place. Oh, no, I've been to that kind of place. Oh, no, I don't want that. Is that the kind of person you are? Somebody offers you a gift. Do you take it? Do you welcome it? It's kind of an interesting thing. Well, it's the same way we are with ourselves. Sometimes we judge ourselves the same way. If we come up with a novel thought or a novel feeling, for example, if your creature self, which is what we were talking about earlier in the program, suddenly comes up with the idea that, you know, I need to go for a walk. I need to be outside. When you're sitting at a computer for an entire day at work, and the creature self says, I need stretching. I need some kind of stuff. You know, and then you talk to it and you say, no, you can't do that, because if you did that, we would get fired, or we couldn't take a break, or we won't get the extra time. You know, it's not acceptable. So you talk down, and then you criticize yourself for the very desire. What's the matter with you? If you didn't drink so much last night, you wouldn't need to stretch right now. The idea here is to listen to your creature self and deal with it. Now, that doesn't mean if it's the middle of a day and your creature self wants to stretch, you don't say to it something like, you know, instead of saying, you know, I deny you because you can't do it, it says, I recognize your need for it. Is there something we could do sitting in this chair that would actually make you feel better? And you could do aerobic things sitting in a chair. That would sometimes be as good as, if not at least, some substitution for your primal need at the moment. 212-209-2900. Let's take a couple of calls today. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air. Hello there. 212-209-2900. I'm going to start taking calls now. Hi there. Hello. Hi there, somebody. Hello.
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 Hello, hello.
Yes,
yeah, I'm calling on Armand DeMille.
You. Can you hear me?
I can, yeah.
Good.
Yes. Am I on the air?
Yes,
is
you're
this
on the air right now.
Oh. Hi, Armand. Love your show.
What's your name?
Yeah, it's a really great subject that you got there. My name is Diane.
Hello, Diane.
Hi. Yeah, I'm a little nervous.
Well, take your time, Diane. Take your time. Just watch.
Yeah, I'm just,
Wait.
Okay, sorry.
Creature self just spoke. I'm a little nervous.
Right.
Another part of you is going to say, oh, you're on the air. You have to be able to talk past it. I am going to treat your creature self with the very same comfort that I would like you to treat it. I would say, oh, I understand. Is there anything, Diane, that I could do that would help you with this nervousness right now, or would you just like to be able to feel it?
I think I'll just feel it.
Okay. And if there's anything I could do to make you feel a little more at ease, please let me know.
All right. Thank you.
Sure. Now tell me. Tell me about you.
I'm curious about, you said the dominant hand, if you're left-handed, what would that be?
Your dominant hand would be your left hand, yes.
Right, so you'd switch that over and...
Yes, you switch it over and you use your right hand. Have you done it? Are you left-handed?
I'm left-handed, yeah. Yeah, I've actually done things like with self-hypnosis and using finger answers, yes, no, that type of a thing, and my response side was just saying I don't want to answer the question, I've learned a little bit today. Maybe if I treat it a little nicer.
You have to be nice to it. That's the whole thing, you see. It's being nice to it. And then it's, of course, even being nice to you, the part of you that criticizes yourself.
Right.
You know, I mean, now, do you have your are you sitting at a desk now or a table?
Not really. I'm working.
And where is this? Are you walking around working or working?
Yes, I'm actually working in a loading dock.
You're working in a what dock?
Second floor. Yeah, I'm working at a loading dock.
You're working in a loading dock. And
yes,
what are you loading?
No, I'm not loading. I'm security. I let people in and out.
Good. So you're the person who has to keep her vigilant eye open all the time. And that's what you do, right?
For the most part, yeah.
You're wary of people. Do you trust people in general? I wouldn't if I were you.
I think I didn't trust people before I started this job.
You didn't trust people before you started the job? No.
I've always been a little cautious.
You're a very cautious person, sure. And that makes your job perfect because they want somebody who's extremely cautious to be doing that job. Because it means you keep your eyes open. So when you think about 10 minutes alone, letting go, relinquishing all of your vigilance, you know, how do you picture that happening?
I don't.
Well, picture it.
Hmm.
Well, picture it. Try it out. Where could you go? Name the place.
I'm at home in my back porch.
Okay, what about your back porch? You could sit there by yourself?
Sit there by myself. I'll have to leave the dogs in the house. But
And no one is watching you?
It's very peaceful back there. Right, yeah, it's very peaceful back there.
You're very peaceful back there. It's not
right.
Peaceful. You're peaceful. So when you go back there, you could be peaceful, right?
Sure.
Do you let your mind go when you're back there, or do you kind of let your mind just run around and do whatever it wants to do?
I think my mind wanders a bit.
Okay, so here's the job. The job is to give yourself permission to stop your mind. Mm. And for you to sit in that back porch and for you to say over and over yourself, Diane, it's okay, we don't have to do anything now. We could just stop. It's okay, we could just stop. Mm. It's okay, we don't have to go anywhere. It's okay, we don't have to worry. It's just 10 minutes. When you get to the point where you can keep that 10 minutes without pushing it any further, you're going to find you're going to be able to connect with your body better. And then after that, you'll connect with your emotions better because you're giving yourself permission to just be. Sounds terrific. I want to thank you very much for calling in, Diane.
All right. Thank you, Armand.
Sure. 212-209-2900. So among the group of people who listen to us, we have security guards who are walking around in warehouses listening. Good. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Armand. My name is Heidi.
Hello, Heidi.
I did your exercise, and
Great. What
came out is an issue that has been my life's issue, and it's that I don't feel safe. I am a little girl in a closet, and I don't know how to be safe in this world.
Okay, so let me hear the dialogue, if you would. The left side of you, because you're right-hand dominant. I could hear that.
I'm not, actually. I'm left-handed.
You're left-hand dominant, so the right-hand side represents the child?
Yes.
Okay, so let's see what does the left hand say first?
First said, love, I am sorry you are in pain.
Ah.
And the right side said, thank you, I hurt. And the left side said, what can make you more comfortable?
Beautiful.
And the right said, I need to be comforted, my belly hurts. And the left said, rest, do you want to rest? And the right says, I don't want you to hold me unsafe, I want to be safe. And what I felt when the child in me is saying, I don't want you to hold me, what I feel the child in me is saying is, I want to be held, but I don't feel safe.
Sure, you want to be held, but you don't feel safe.
Yes.
That's a terrible feeling because, you know, you desperately need it, but there's no way to get it. What would make you feel safe enough to be held by even yourself? You'd have to know there's no danger.
I don't know. I mean, believe it or not, I guess my voice makes you perceive me as right-hand dominant, and then maybe you cannot feel the creative side in me. I happen to be very creative, and I'm the type of person who loves every genre of music, at least something in it, maybe not every part of it. And so I've done things like put myself in a cocoon and a blanket and imagined myself being just drifting in a safe space outside of the world. But in reality, in my life, the issue keeps coming up that I don't feel safe. And you talked about a boy who had an alcoholic parent. I come from a very violent home. I was abused and raped, and I've suffered many, many things. And I've worked so hard to be okay. And I thought that I was okay, and I'm feeling like I'm not.
I understand. So are you currently doing therapy with someone?
Yes, I have been. I have never stopped doing therapy. I've been in therapy for many years, but I feel like I've plateaued. Like there's something...
Right, and it sounds to me like you may need to take a different step, you know, a different direction.
Yeah.
Because when you repeat the same pattern over and over again, sometimes it's like grow a scar. You know, it just gets to be tough skin.
Yes, yes.
And maybe you might want to look on my website and look at something called the Intense Feeling Process.
Okay.
Now,
it's
a very dynamic, short-term process that goes much, much deeper and faster than talking your way through it.
That sounds good.
You know, so you may find that would really help for you to get down as fast as you can into that child's part of you and all its parts so that it feels safe. Because, you know, the truth of it is the child is safe.
Yes.
It just doesn't know it.
Yes.
And it's also got you to protect it, which you do. But it just doesn't know it.
I believe that I've been a soldier, but soldiers sometimes need to have breaks. And
yes,
I don't know that I've ever really had a vacation, you know, a real vacation in my mind.
A vacation from pain.
Yes, a vacation from pain.
Yep, I understand.
I don't think I've ever had one. I think I'm used to living in this space.
Mm-hmm.
And I move forward like an automaton in some sense. Emotionally, I know I have to keep getting up and brushing myself off. Every time I stumble and I get up and move forward, I don't expect anyone to do it for me. But I feel like I need something. I feel like a child I feel like an orphan child who's running around without skills, wildly, who knows how to survive, but doesn't know how to live a stable, steady life. Peaceful.
Well, you know, you're so knowledgeable about yourself that I know that you've come from a horror. I could tell you've come from a terrible place.
I wish I could tell you. It's such a crazy story that most people would not even believe it.
You've come from to where you are now, it seems to be an enormous step. And it seems that the next step is really a small step, but it's a doozy. It's a big one. And somewhere we're going to get you underneath the logic of this so that you could really feel the connection with your natural feeling self and really feel it and find that child on a whole different level. Now, go through the information I told you about, then get in touch with me, okay?
I will do what you said. Thank you, Armand.
Sure. Thank you for calling in, Heidi.
Bye-bye.
212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. How precious. Precious people. You see, and the other thing about the positive mind is, how would anybody, and they do it, I mean, if you listen to Dr. Phil or you listen to any of the other radio psychologists, they criticize people at these moments. Well, what are you doing for your life? Well, how come you're not doing this? Well, when are you going to get shaped now? And it sounds logical that you should criticize people and beat them up and just tell them to get off their taking care of the take or stop being a baby. And I don't know how they do it. So that's why I will not be on national network radio, because I can't beat people up that way, because that looks like it's good advice, but you know, it just looks like good advice. The people on the other side of that never get better. They just do what all wild animals will do when you attack them. They push back. You push them, they push back. This is Armand DeMille with you with the positive mind. Let's take another call. 212-209-2900. Hi, you're on the air. Hello there. 212-209-2900, my friend.
Hello?
Yes.
Armando?
Yes.
I remember myself in a bar, and I started writing down. And what came to my mind is the people normally make an abortion of their dog. They don't even let that born. They just kill them before born. They reject to give themselves a chance to think about things in a different way, to be open to any thought that comes to their mind.
Did you find this in your family?
No, I just write it down It just pop up to my mind. Probably something weird come to my mind, and I feel strange about think about it, and then I answer to myself. Probably that was the case, but it's amazing that you're just talking about that when I thought about it.
Well, where did you grow up? Tell me where you grew up.
I grew up in Dominican Republic.
Okay, and in the Dominican Republic, were you, when you were a kid, was it easy, peaceful, or was it very difficult?
Well, at that time, it was very difficult to me as a child because I didn't grow up with my parents. I was so many people in my family, and I guess
you were kind of one of those children in the Dominican Republic who lived with your grandparents or your aunts or something?
Yes, yes.
And so nobody really wanted you around. You were kind of a nuisance. You know
well,
what I mean? You're a problem.
I wouldn't say it like that.
How would you say it?
I think I have a good family, and I appreciate my family, but it would be better to grow up with my parents, of course.
Sure. Why didn't your parents want you?
Well, I don't know why my mom come to this country. My grandfather, it was a rich guy, so it was not an economic situation. And my father and my mother get divorced, and I end staying with her. I was 2 years old when she left.
So what you're saying, in effect, a two-year-old child loses a mother, and that two-year-old child looks out into the world and says, this world isn't fair, this world isn't kind. It's that two-year-old child that's still alive as a creature inside you. That makes all the sense in the world. You know better than that. You knew your mom was doing the best she could. You knew your family loved you and as best they could. But they saw just this child that was left behind and they had to take care of, and you grew up in a hostile, non-safe world. You were an orphan. And so, of course, it's painful to you. Of course it makes sense that the child in you is uncovering parts that are very painful, and I want you to treasure that. Treasure those words. Treasure it and talk back to it. Because it sounds to me, by your uncovering this part of yourself, you're going to uncover a part of yourself that you're going to find very, very, very beautiful. You know, like a new part of yourself. People who don't have contact with their creature self, with their emotions, they live about 80% of their lives. Because 20% of them is always hidden somewhere. It's beautiful to watch people as they come around and they become these people who now embrace this creature side of themselves. And
yeah,
when
I
do
think
that,
of,
say
I
it
think
again.
That creature should be welcome.
Yeah, it should be welcomed. Like you were never welcomed. That creature should be welcomed. And I'll tell you something. You're always welcome around here. Anytime,
I know.
Anytime you want to call the positive mind, you'll get through. You want to come up to my office, you're always welcome around. What's your name?
Yvette. Yvette Sierra.
Yvette, thank you very much for calling in.
Thank you.
Sure. And this is Armand DeMille with you at the Positive Mind. We're just about running out of time. I'll be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m., my friends. Fabulous people, huh? Fabulous people. Hey, back with you tomorrow at 1. You could go to thepositivemind.com. And if you go to thepositivemind.com, you'll read all kinds of interesting things, including be able to listen to this program. I'll be back with you tomorrow.
My dog has fleas. Well, you've been working so hard. You need a vacation for the day. So I built a little paradise in the backyard, where the breeze makes the cardboard palm trees sway. The neighbor girls with hula skirts are flying, and the punch is genuine Hawaiian.
Come to Hawaii, come to Hawaii, come to Hawaii with me.
A wading pool is the clear blue ocean, a sheet for the white Hawaiian sand. Bring your swimming suit in case you get the notion. We'll eat pineapple fresh from the can. And if you close your eyes and dream, you'll be amazed at just how real it seems. Why don't you come to Hawaii, come to Hawaii, come to Hawaii with me. Come to Hawaii, come to Hawaii, come to Hawaii with me. Oh.